You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. My name is Alexis Guerreros, and I'm sick as shit.
And I'm Christian Polanco, and I'm on the phone.
But together, we are the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
Do we sound different?
We might sound a little different. I might sound, like I'm coming in via satellite.
Right. You sound far away, and I sound like I have 400 pounds of phlegm in my throat.
And now you weigh in at a cool 800
pounds. Yeah, just nice even. Nice even. Actually, I might hit end call after that one.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Christian Polanco.
And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
I just flew back in from Los Angeles. So I'm away. I'm just at my own home, but it's probably the safest place to be right now.
Right, because I am horribly sick. I don't know what happened. I can say that I was out doing spots, and there were other comics that are just getting over a cold, but there's something going around the comedy scene, and it has fully attacked me.
Good thing I get no stage time whatsoever.
I mean, this is where it benefits you, Christian.
I'm in tip-top shape.
Yeah, your immune system, not a worry. Mine, battling it out. I mean, exactly. I host a lot, which sucks, right? When you host, I mean, it's great. I'm not saying it sucks to host.
You might as well make out with six other comics.
Yeah, it's essentially what happens, because not only am I using the mic right after they use it, but I shake their hands. I mean, it's essentially like swapping spit with six other comics twice a night. And let me tell you something. None of them have health care. And they're all disgusting human beings.
Correct.
Forward thinking, absolutely disgusting, 100%.
We're no different. We're all on just different levels of filthy.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Whereas in their cases, they're like, I have a cold. I think I'm just going to take a Dayquil and go out and do shows. Exactly. Well, you don't feel the symptoms, but guess who does? This guy right here. So, yeah, exactly. I spent 36 hours sleeping. I physically could not get out of bed yesterday. Like, let me tell you guys how sick I was. My wife made me chicken parm, and I fell asleep while eating it.
Oh, my God. Right? You put your face right in the plate. You use the chicken parm as a pillow.
I will say this much. My body knew enough to not fall into the chicken parm. But that's how sick I was, that even while eating, my body was like, I'm sorry. I know how important this is for you, Alexis, but we have to let go.
Yeah, this is bad. This is like your body, missing your soccer game as a little kid, you know? Like,
right.
This is your body really let you down.
At 100%. And, I go to the doctors. No, thank you. Right, I let my own immune system take care of it, which is why I get a cold every 5 weeks. I'm not a big fan of antibiotics, so here I am handling it on my own.
It's becoming a little too routine. I feel like you get a cold as much as women menstruate. So.
maybe this is my period.
This is your period.
This is my period. This is me shedding my sinuses eggs. I don't know what happens in that moment. I got to be honest. I've stayed away from any mention of that my entire life.
But even as sick as you were, and even though I was away, we still paid attention to what was going on in the soccer world.
100%.
There's still stuff going on. The MLS is in their preseason, and their what was it, the Desert Cup in Arizona, where I don't really get the why title the preseason. Like, I mean, sort of every scenario has like a cup. It's a every you play two games against a team and boom, and yeah, we call it a cup.
It's like you get a cup.
I don't see the making it more flashy than it needs to be. It's just a couple games to get our legs under us and stuff like that. But yeah, so that's going on. Champions League, FA Cup. So a couple things happened while you know, I was away and while you were incapacitated.
Right, and I think probably the one thing, probably the top of the list. You know, unless you're really paying close attention to your favorite club's preseason matches in MLS, I would say probably the one thing that's in full swing that if your club is still a part of, doesn't have as much hatred is the word or mm-hmm. Dire straits is the FA Cup. Can you tell I'm an Arsenal fan?
Yeah, this was a big, most FA Cup matches, most people don't really pay too much attention to outside of like that local team that's playing that like big monster club, but there was
or there is something to be said about the magic of the cup, right?
There is, but there was something because of sort of Arsenal's recent struggles. I think people thought like this was like a wounded deer that was ready to be like that could be killed by like a weaker animal. So right. this Arsenal Sutton game, which was played in what looked like, a high school soccer field. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
There was like 1,500 people. Apparently, it's some community pitch that I think, like, you know, the under sixes were playing at just prior. but it was pretty cool. And there was a big, a lot of stories behind it. You know, the fat goalkeeper.
Love him. Legend.
Of course. Of course, a soccer player to relate to.
The me of soccer.
I mean, even in like the 83rd minute, the backup keeper, he was, I think his name is Wayne Shaw, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He was eating like a sandwich or.
No, he ate a pie. Well, did you hear that he had to resign?
He had to resign. Why? Because of heart disease?
No, not at all. And we're not going to be fat shaming backup goalkeepers on this podcast. If there's one thing I will not allow to happen.
I had to get a couple in there.
Not from the skinny mini of the podcast. I will not let that happen. No, he had to resign because apparently the company that sponsors their shirt, SunBet, if I'm not mistaken, put a joke out saying that they would allow, you know, for prop bets, that they would allow an 8-1 bet that he was going to eat a pie live on air during the game.
Oh, so that's
so he went ahead. Yeah. So he went ahead and did it. So they're suggesting that maybe he was aware of that, which he did admit he was aware of it, and that he had placed a bet secretly on that and that he decided to go ahead and eat it. So I got to admit, I barely pay attention to this match. I kept falling in and out of sleep. And most people who probably wanted to watch that match kept falling in and out of sleep. Happy to see that we won 2-0. I don't think it was our best showing as an Arsenal, but you're watching it later on. Did I see that highlight of him eating a pie? And I thought, what a great story. You know, at the end of the day, you know, you look at this and say, this is their one moment, their one shining moment. This guy didn't make it about himself, but, you know, they've been making fun of him for being big and overage and overweight for, you know, his position. And here he is eating a pie, just like a nice, simple moment. And now, you know, they're saying it's like a great shame on the club. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Great shame. And that he had to resign and he won't he won't be there for, for the rest of the, or whatever, you know, for their next match. He's now just not a part of the club. And what a real shame.
That is a shame. I didn't know Wayne Shaw was the Pete Rose of English soccer.
The Pete Rose now old and overweight.
That's a bummer. That's a bummer because he's, obviously it's a cool story. But now we have to wonder if the match was fixed and Arsenal they probably wouldn't have won if somebody wasn't betting on the game. I'm just throwing that theory out there, but who knows?
I'm telling you this much. If they get an inquiry into match fixing because somebody ate a pie, I think this will be the greatest soccer story of all time. Yeah, and certainly one I'll be paying attention to.
Just an FA, like, tribunal. Introduce... the pie as evidence, please.
Yeah, the pie tasted round the world.
I did watch the match, and it was obviously everyone. I think everyone. I had heard that all of the players on Sutton United. Is that the team Sutton United? I don't remember. It's Sutton Town. They were all fans of Arsenal. Like I wouldn't be surprised if they all had like Ozil jerseys under their own jerseys. But they were like a lot of them were they had day jobs. It's just all dudes with.
Yeah, they're non-league.
So it's just
it's like
amazing.
Cooligans FC playing against NYCFC, you know, in the U.S. Open Cup.
We'll get there. I mean, we already have a better record than NYCFC in the U.S. Open Cup, so we have a real chance.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I mean, that you know, look, at the end of the day, these are, I mean, here's the thing. I'm sure once the whistle starts, you want to beat them. You know, you don't want to lose, even if it's to your favorite club. It just, you know, who cares?
Of course.
You know, I, as much as I love certain comics, if I'm on the same lineup with them, if I ever get the chance to be on the same lineup as you know, Brian Regan, I want to make sure I'm funnier than him. Look, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Okay.
Yeah. It's a healthy competition. You know?
Right. That's what I want. So I'm hopefully they come at it the same way. You know, and I think this just tarnishes Arsenal's win. I think one of the things that comes out of Arsenal's win is things like Lucas Perez once again showing his class and not getting a chance to start. And, you know, the way I look at this, if you're, for those of you who are Arsenal fans, and even if you're not, if you're enjoying watching this Arsene Wenger out, you know, sort of saga that has unfolded over the last 20 years, if you're watching this, you know, for all the Arsene Wenger outs and everyone saying this is pretty much this is it. If he wins the FA Cup, you know, what say you now? Think about it. Imagine he's got, what does he have? He has Sutton, Lincoln Imps. If they win or they move forward, they play Lincoln, which is what, a fifth tier team, another non-league team. You know,
or definitely lower league. I don't know where they play.
No, I think they're also non-league.
So I mean, this is the easy path to the final.
I mean, certainly, look, easy in the sense they beat Burnley. Okay, that's not necessary. I wouldn't say easy. I mean, they're clearly well organized, and you know, again, you know, you look at these players who may not be consistent enough to be a high level. Some of them have a lot of skill. You know, we're trained by Premier League clubs or high end clubs, so they have some skill. But yeah, you're right. You know, Kurt.
There was one. There was that scary moment. I don't know who. What player it was, I wish I could remember, but he hit the crossbar from Sutton. It was a great shot. And look, they put up a real fight, and they were, I don't know, they weren't getting pushed around. I think that was the thing that I think, you know, I don't really watch Premier League clubs play against non-league clubs very often. I've not seen it much, and the biggest difference, I felt bad for some of the Sutton wingbacks because having to cover Theo Walcott and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
That's ridiculous.
Who are track athletes. I mean, they
look, yeah.
It looked like Usain Bolt.
I was about to say, that's like covering Usain Bolt and Usain Bolt, you know?
It was ridiculous. And I felt so bad. And I'm impressed that they only lost 2-0 because, and how great would it have been? And also very sad would it have been if Sutton would have scored one, but it would have been a cool moment, just to witness. But even after the match, they did like the, you know, like the NCAA Final Four college basketball, just running on the pitch, every single person there was not enough security that could be hired to stop like 2,000 people from rushing onto the field, and everybody was basically trying to get an autograph or a picture with any Arsenal player.
Yeah, and of course that's what you do. Why wouldn't you do that in that moment? And you know, yeah. Look, this is part of what's exciting about the Cup.
It kind of reminded me of us at the MLS final. So just running onto the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, just did anyone yell Fidel died in Spanish? Because if so, that's exactly like us at the MLS Cup. Watch the video that we posted a few weeks back if you want to have any reference to that. It's fun to watch. And, you know, when they do break down these, like, you know, like Lincoln beating, beating Burnley, you know, it's terrible for Burnley. You know, I remember back when, you know, Brentford City beat Arsenal. It's these things, they sting, and they're a great way, you know, banter for whoever your biggest rivals are. But they're great for those clubs. You know, it's a great moment for those clubs. And that's why you have this competition. And to be honest, it's why I look at the U.S. Open Cup and hope that it gets bigger and better every year. And I look for, you know, the lower league, clubs to get better stadiums, even if they're small, you know, or, you know, sort of not makeshift, but they don't have to be these grand, you know, not everyone needs to be an MLS, right? Everyone could get, you know, like some of these smaller clubs, like, you know, what is it? The Riverhounds have a great little stadium over there. And, that's a great one to go out there and play, things like that. You know, not everyone has to be in these, you know, even college football stadiums. It doesn't have to be, you know, some of these small local clubs can have great little stadiums on their own. And, you know, you get to play some of these games and hopefully US Open Cup picks up steam and we get to see some of these same matches here.
Yeah. It'd be cool to have like those giant kind of upsets that attract some media attention, because that's the US Open Cup is hardly ever mentioned in any kind of sports coverage at all.
Ever.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, the games are difficult to find. They're difficult to even know when they are scheduled. It's a little frustrating, but like obviously FC Dallas won the US Open Cup last season, and I think the semifinal and the final were the ones that were the most kind of publicized. But outside of that, there was basically nothing.
Yeah, I think other than when Cal FC, which was Eric Winalda's club, which made a surprising run. They were also, you know, a non-professional club. These were, you know, construction workers and waiters. And Eric Winalda took control of the team and got them pretty far. And I think they played one match in old Chicago Fire jerseys. I think they were donated by Chicago Fire. So they were wearing, like, black shorts with Chicago Fire tops.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, you know, he played with a sweeper. I think he lost to Kansas City or Portland, if I'm not mistaken, but that was televised because that was like the like American version of Magic of the Cup as this lower level club going all the way. But I think up until last year, the actual Twitter for it was just some guy who cared about it, you know, like he tweeted about it so much that so many people were following him thinking it was the real US Open Cup that they were just like, all right, we'll just make you the US Open Cup guy.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which just goes to show, like, everything in soccer in the U.S., if the fans love it enough, they'll make it happen. Which is, thank you for listening to Cooligans.
Well, now that makes me optimistic. Like, it's not, especially in the American soccer sort of spectrum right now, it is not impossible for Cooligans FC, a team of comedians, to I don't know, can you apply? Can we form a real squad and to be able to enter the U.S. Open Cup? Like what's the paperwork that we got to do?
I can tell you this right now. Whatever it is, you're going to be denied. expect a hefty no.
I don't know. I don't think they saw me play in Los Angeles. I was in Los Angeles and I got to meet up with Elvis Romero, who runs On the Valley Apparel. You've heard him. You've heard us talk about this clothing line that, you know, they just make awesome, comfortable soccer-inspired clothing.
And one of our day ones.
One of our day ones, man. Always been supportive. And I finally got to meet him. We got to meet him in person. You know, he's in L.A., in California, you know, supports the Galaxy. But he's a big fan of growing the game. He's like, it was cool to talk to someone who's as interested in growing the American soccer game as we are. You know, he's a big American Outlaws guy, and he goes to a lot of games as well, U.S. games. And it was cool to have that conversation, you know, on the other side of the country, because it was, you know, I got to play in one of the On the Valley Apparel games at this field in Pomona, California, which was it's called Goals Pomona, and Alexis, you've talked about this a bunch, about having like that. If you were the mayor of the city, you would build a bunch of 5-side cages all over New York City. And this is exactly what this place was. It was so cool. It was just gorgeous fields. You can see it on our Instagram stories. I posted a couple of them. I'm going to post a couple of pictures. But the whole the fields are just absolutely beautiful. The whole complex was great. They have I think they had about 7 or 8 fields in like, I don't know, it seemed like maybe less, half a city block or something like that. But it was great. And I got to play with a lot of people there, and they were so much better than me. And that was the thing I was most afraid of. There was something.
So now you hate them.
I hate them. They're my sworn enemy. On Volley Apparel is no longer a sponsor with us.
No.
There's nothing I can do.
So listen up for our next sponsor.
After suffering such embarrassment, how could we work with them? It was cool. I'm glad I got the invitation, and I got to play a little bit. And it was great. And I never even played in a 5-a-side cage. And it was actually the thing I had to adjust to was like, the ball bouncing off the wall.
Yeah, I mean, it really makes you focus on your footwork.
Exactly, and that's the thing. That's my weakest thing. That's
you and me both. You and me both, buddy.
But it was cool. It was cool.
But you know why I like it so much?
Why?
A lot less running.
Oh yeah, that is important to you.
That is so important to me. In fact, if anything, I would say it's almost essential to my success.
Oh, sure. That's a good strategy. And the fact that you stay committed to it year after year is really what's most impressive.
You know, I will say it's difficult, but in the end, it pays for itself.
So that was cool. I'm glad I got to see some of the, you know, there are passionate soccer fans that, and Elvis said one thing that really stuck with me about how, you know, people complain.
He was like, don't ever come back here again. That really stuck with you.
But then he said that, you know, people complain about the American soccer culture and like, oh, people don't go to games and nobody supports it. So it's like the people who complain are also the people who do not support it. So it's very hypocritical to be one of those people to complain that the game is not as exciting. The fanfare is not, it's not the same as it is in Europe. But you're also not doing anything to contribute to it.
100%. 100%, which is exactly why you and I do what we're doing. Because we said, you know what? There is no entertaining, fun to listen to content about soccer. Well, guess who's doing it?
Exactly.
So that's it. We just hope that there's a lot of people saying the same thing who are nowhere near as entertaining as us, who have a lot of time to listen to podcasts and watch YouTube videos.
All right. Yeah. There's if Justin Bieber can get 9 billion views on his music videos, we can get a couple hundred thousand, right?
That's right.
Possible.
How about a couple hundred?
that's a reasonable request.
Right? That's not too much. Maybe you and I should adopt the old Bieber haircut. The old swoop.
Oh yeah. We should consider it.
Right? At least.
Whatever, you know, that sort of that bucket, you know, he has like the bucket kind of bangs. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what else to call it. Is the, you know, the fuck boy fresh? Was that is that allowed?
That's a good. That never had a title, that haircut, but I think that's the perfect one.
Well, you're welcome for naming it. You know us, exactly. We got our finger on the pulse of society.
Yeah. So in some other MLS stuff, look, the season's coming up, what, in about, 10 days?
Yeah, this is it. The season begins.
Oh, boy. I'm pretty stoked, man. Obviously, the season opens up with Minnesota United against, who are they playing? I forget what they're playing. The Timbers.
Yeah, the Timbers.
So that's going to be big. In the preseason, now we're starting to see the starters kind of come together. There's still even some like very late additions that I'm generally worried about a lot of teams because they are making they're making changes or getting additions very late, late in the preseason. And I think it's going to take about a month for most teams to even figure themselves out.
Yeah, and this is the thing about MLS. Probably one of the things that's exciting and frustrating at the same time is that every season you sort of begin again. You know, you don't really build on what happened last year. So if you think about it, 2 years ago, Columbus as an example. But 2 years ago, you had Colorado Rapids, one of the worst teams in the league. Last year, yeah, one of the best teams in the league, right? So when you think to yourself, how are they going to do this year? Your mind would say, well, they're obviously going to build on what happened last year and blah, blah, blah. That they could be one of the worst clubs in the league, or they could be a middle club. You know, you look at a team like, you know, you look at a team like Columbus Crew, you know, went to the final, could barely, it didn't make the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken.
I think one of the, I would say the one team that when I think of stability is really probably the Red Bulls. I'm trying to think of other teams that where look,
Seattle,
yeah. Last year was obviously kind of a wacky season.
Last year was probably their worst year, and they end up winning the MLS Cup.
The Cup. Yeah, they need to have more bad seasons.
Yeah, I mean, if you're one of their fans.
It's weird to like think of that season as a failure, right?
Yeah, but it also kind of goes to show what it takes to win the MLS Cup. It's not about, and you know, if you're FC Dallas, who are the picture of consistency and, you know, are doing everything right. If this was a regular soccer league, they would clearly be the top. But, you know, it's not about being good all year. It's about being good for most of the year to get yourself in the playoffs, and then being hot at the right moment, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at teams like, the club that you and I both love, New York City Football Club, you know, they've added a lot of pieces. You know, one of the things that we've seen is some of these playmaking, DPs, you know, the guys that can put people in the right place. Is someone like a Maxi Morales, do you think he's going to put, you know, people are saying that that's NYCFC's Jovinko. They're both very short? Who knows?
I mean, he might be shorter than Jovinko. I didn't know that was like allowed without like confirming that he's not a minor.
Right, right. His parents are chasing him around the pitch. No, they just have to be here. They have to be here legally.
It's MLS rules. The parents, he had to sign a permission slip to play in every game.
Yeah.
He's probably a little bit of a concern. It's hard to judge in the preseason. You know, watching the last preseason match, NYCFC against the Dynamo, they seem like there's going to be a lot of adjustment. I mean, NYCFC the whole roster is basically turned over. And I'm, as a fan, I'm a little concerned that NYCFC is going to have that flip-flop season. I'm like scared that they're not even going to make the playoffs this year.
See, I disagree. I think I feel like they've gotten even better. And again, I look at the way the club is made up, and I think to myself, what are some of the things that was missing last year? Stability in the back line. I'm not sure if that was handled. Maybe someone protecting the back line. I don't think Bravo was the answer. It looks like these guys like Rodney Wallace, some of these guys are adding a bit more defensive guile. Which, by the way, Rodney Wallace, that's a Costa Rican dude.
That's right. Him and Matarrita are going to be basically on both. This is also.
Ronald Matarrita. Yeah, that makes sense. Rodney Wallace. Rodney Wallace sounds like an attorney. That doesn't sound like a Costa Rican.
But yeah, it's Rodney Wallace and Barnes.
Great.
They have a great jingle. They'll be fine. But no.
It's Wallace, Throman, Iglesen.
But speaking, NYCFC, there's an odd thing going on because, like, they re-signed RJ Allen, right? They, as far as what the back line is going to look like, you know, who's going to get the start? Rodney Wallace won the MLS Cup with Portland in 2015.
Yeah.
He's a quality, you know, veteran MLS guy. So I think it's going to add to a lot of competition to who gets those starting spots.
They also got, what does that do? Cayens, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they got Federico Cayens or something like that. They got this dude Cayens. There's just a lot of, you know, you don't see this as much with other clubs. You know, probably the one club I think that has made the most additions and they went out and got veteran MLS guys that I think we all look at as proven winners, even though they haven't really won many cups, or at least one of them hasn't, is the Chicago Fire.
Yeah.
You know, they went out and got Juninho, and they went out and got Dax McCarty. Look, at the very least, I'm sure part of their decision making for that trade for Dax was saying, well, this dude's going to come in here pissed. And you want him playing with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, there's a... Yeah, I mean, it's basically he's trying to show his ex that he can still flex a little bit.
You know? Right? Like, yo, he sees his ex like on Instagram, you know what I mean? And it was like, yo, I need to step my game up. I need to get new kicks or whatever just so she know I'm still doing good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the Fire are going to have the probably toughest time kind of, rebuilding. They were very, very bad last year. I can't.
But you forget they showed some signs towards the end of that season. They got guys like Solignac and who's that dude that they brought in? Who's that European dude? I can't remember the name. I don't want to disturb the recording computer right now to look it up. But they showed some signs towards the latter end of that season. That they had some real power moving forward. They still got Akam, you know what I mean?
That's right.
I mean, dude.
And the hope is that they capitalize on using Akam for as long as he's there, because if they're still so bad, I can't imagine him being there after, you know, next season.
Yeah, and especially if he's getting offers, you know, I mean, you know, you gotta be able to, but I'm sure, you know, signing free agents or, you know, looking at, you know, players in trade, he's a commodity. You know, if you're a midfielder of Juninho or Dax McCarty's level, you would say, look, you'll be passing to a guy who can break anyone with speed on the wing. So, you know, they do have some signs, and that's the thing that's probably the most frustrating about reviewing some of these clubs up front in the preseason. Is you've got some incredible talent across the board. It's just which one of them is going to, you know, which one of these clubs is going to develop that chemistry, which I think becomes so important. And I think nothing highlights that more than the winners of the last MLS Cup. Because to win an MLS Cup without a shot on goal, you have to be a very well, sort of organized and disciplined club.
Yeah, even just phrasing it that way, like winning an MLS Cup without a shot on goal, sounds like some like a judo kind of move where you don't like, you know,
you did it on purpose. Like, yeah.
Where you like you defeat the enemy before they even throw the first punch.
Right, right.
Like one of those weird like proverbs.
Yeah. It's like page 8 in the Art of War.
But
which, by the way, if Cooligans FC ever makes it to the US Open Cup, my suggestion is, or my, I would reveal the future right now by saying, if you ever won a match, it would be without a shot on goal.
That's right. I mean, we would only win a match if there was like gunshots on goal, not actual shots on goal.
Oh.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I thought my joke bombed.
No, it did. But I was also coughing away from the microphone. So all of that collided at the same time.
Oh, that made me feel great.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to mention, former NYCFC player Patrick Mullins, the backup striker who originally came from the New England Revolution. He was traded away to DC United.
Can we just say he bodied at DC? That dude bodied at DC. I mean, what would he have, like a hat trick in two of the first three matches?
Patrick Mullins was Dax McCarty before Dax McCarty. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And the funny thing is, like, yo, if you, we didn't have, if NYCFC didn't have David Villa, yo, Patrick Mullins gets a lot of burn.
Exactly.
But you you can't put Mullins in when you got Villa. You just can't do it. You got to put wingers around him. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, but it is some good news for him. I mean, and it's nice to hear of some MLS players earning that bigger paycheck. And he was originally earning like $96,000 a season, and now it's bumping up to $250,000. So he's played his way into that contract. So that's a good sign for him.
$250,000 a year.
Yeah.
I can't. I
mean, it's not mixed Discarude money for not playing at all, but it's something.
Which, you know, again, we're both open for. I know we've said this before, but if you're willing to pay Mix Discarude to do nothing besides look pretty, yo, me and Christian will take half that money, and I guarantee you we look twice as pretty because we will work at it.
Exactly. It'll be a bang for your buck, I promise.
100%. And just think of the craft services. We would make sure it is so good.
How about this? $250,000 ball boys. Okay, we will maybe tell a little joke, maybe say something humorous while the opposing team is taking a corner.
Oh, we'll be riffing and making sure that they're giggling a little bit. Really get them off their game.
Exactly. Maybe even tickle them a little bit before they take the corner.
Oh God, you have no idea. We would revolutionize the way the game is played, and for a mere $250,000 a year.
You know, and I don't want to, you know, kind of force the issue, but we can also New England revolutionize the whole thing. So, you know, I don't know if any team loves puns, but we could make it work.
Oh yeah, you know, you could hire us. I don't care who hires us. We'll go to Minnesota.
You know, and it does get cold in Minnesota.
Yes, it does.
It does, as Lil Yachty always says. You know, also the Philadelphia Union. This was kind of this is pretty funny. And this was sent to us by our boy Igor, a big Portland Timbers fan. What was that noise?
Sorry, that was my microphone. Boom. Sure. We use some really cheap boom arms here on Cooligans.
That sounded like a squeaky door in a haunted house.
Yeah, it may be that as well. I'm sure these microphones are haunted by much better podcasters.
So, Igor, he sent us this story last week about the Philadelphia Union. So, Igor, he's a big Portland Timbers fan. Igor Mortis 13, I believe, is his handle.
Another one of our day ones, by the way.
Another one, exactly. And he told us about he's a tattoo artist, and he sent us a story from the Philadelphia Union who put out I don't even know, this might have been like on LinkedIn for all I know. They put out a job request for a tattoo artist to officially work with the team.
Yeah, this isn't some Craigslist ad.
No, it's not the Craigslist ad.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want some sketchy ass tattoo artist.
It does look like it could be on a Craigslist ad. Like you know, an MLS team looking for a tattoo artist. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get Felatio from whoever this is.
Right. Yeah, this is some old back page ad. So wait, so I'm a tattoo artist and I'm going to get paid in roses? I don't get it. I'm very confused.
Sounds tempting. Yeah. But yeah, so this is kind of interesting because, you know, every team has their own strategy for like when it comes to marketing or whatever. I'm just trying to think of what is the benefit to having a team tattoo artist.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's, you know, this seems to me like marketing research gone wrong, you know, right? They're like, what are the kids like? Ah, you know, and, you know, athletes are into tattoos and athletes with tattoos look edgier and soccer needs to be edgier. And how do we, you know, how do we associate ourselves with, you know, Philadelphia culture? And here we are now where we're hiring. I mean, the least cool thing you could do is have a staff tattoo member, I'm assuming.
I don't know. I mean, look, they basically are saying that they're looking for either one tattoo artist or a team of people that can that can ensure the sort of the quality for of the tattoos for their players. But it is mildly fascinating as to like, are we like, because look, right, in the NBA, they had it. There was a moment where I think Allen Iverson was like the main one who started getting sleeve tattoos, and then they started forcing him to like cover them up or wear like a sleeve to cover everything he was wearing. So it seems like if you get a team tattoo artist, you're sort of limiting, you know, I feel like there's going to be a red tape when it comes to like, if they want to get a tattoo of, I don't know, some girl, their first love, like naked lying on a bed of roses or something like that, then they're going to be like, well, no, the team tattoo artist can't do something like that. It just seems like there's
right. It's going to be like, it's got to have to be family friendly. So yeah, how about a fully clothed woman reading the Bible on a bed of pamphlets for Children's Aid?
Like, oh. How about this? Dora the Explorer holding a baby.
Yeah. Seems fine. I think everyone agrees, right? The board is like, well, we're paying this artist. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not so worried about that as I am just like the fucking 16-year-old kid from like a wholesome town who all of a sudden is completely covered in tattoos, even on his face. It's like says music, yeah. Music is my life on his forehead, you know, has a looks like 21 Savage. You know, he's just like, I don't know, man, I got bored one day and he was there.
It's like all of a sudden one of the rookies is running a trap house out of the Philadelphia locker room.
Yeah. Yeah. Your coach is holding, your coach has a styrofoam cup and he's like, everything going to be all right. Your goalkeepers are playing dice.
Look, who knows if this will, you know, what effect it'll have or how it'll work, or if you know, if all of a sudden Bedoya is on the cover of like Inc. magazine or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it could be, look, with tattoo culture is obviously, you know, I don't have tattoos. You don't have any tattoos. You know, I haven't seen your lower back yet, but.
No, other than that, I have a big sign that says aim lower. No, I got no tattoos. I keloid. Do you know what that is? You know what that is, right?
I know what that is.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know, that's your skin bubbles when it scars. And it, you know, I found that out removing a weird mole or something. And the first thing the lady said to me was like, well, guess you can never get tattooed. And she walked out of the room. I'm like, well, thanks for making that decision for me.
Were you disappointed about that?
You know what? I'm one of those dudes that was like, if I ever get a tattoo, and I thought of like, you know, the 100 different things I would do. But in the end, I never decided on what I wanted to get, and I don't have one. And I'm sure if I ever get one, it'll either be the dumbest moment and I'm just deciding to do it in like a fun thing, or it'll be like this long thought out thing. In other words, I'm never going to get one.
All right. Well, you disappointed Igor, because he would love to tattoo a Portland Timbers logo right on your chest.
Well, yeah, that's he would have to have full approval from my wife, which I can promise him would be much harder than that entire tattoo. And I will tell you this, as far as I may not be getting a tattoo, who knows if you're going to get one or not. But we are happy to announce that we as Cooligans have also put out a search to have our own tattoo artist, and we've decided Igor is it. Yeah.
Igor.
Round of applause.
Congratulations, Igor. You are now officially our Cooligans tattoo artist.
Right. So if anybody wants a Cooligans tattoo, you got to go to Portland and visit our dude, Igor Mortis.
That's right. And he will only tattoo Cooligan logo teardrop tattoos on your face.
That's it.
That's the only thing we offer at the moment.
And that's one for every body you've ever caught, and body you ever caught is trophies you've won.
Correct. Yeah. Instead of you know, stitching a star over the Portland Timbers.
We don't play all that.
It should be a Cooligans logo to signify each championship.
100%.
So yeah, how long have we been doing this already, Alexis?
This has been 44 minutes.
Oh my God. Look, you're out of it. You're very sick. I don't want to keep you any longer. We'll be back the following week with a bigger episode. Once Alexis has taken all the medication he needs.
Right. Fully recovered from this vocal Ebola.
That's right. Vocal, that's a rapper I listen to.
Vocal Ebola. Better than Young Ebola. Oh, that guy's career fizzled out.
Exactly. Big disappointment. High expectations. Obviously, he had to live up to, Big Ebola, notorious B.I.G. Ebola.
Yeah, so dumb.
So, but we will have a full episode next week, and obviously that'll be the week before the MLS season begins, and hopefully we might have we might have a really big fun episode, maybe an interview with somebody, maybe who knows if we can get in touch with him.
Maybe
know I'm talking about,
so it's we'll a big surprise, but hopefully you guys are listening.
We'll see if that happens. So,
and for those of you who also watch our YouTube, we won't have a FIFA the news this Friday, but we are giving you guys another video this Friday, a little something. We weren't able to be together today to record another FIFA the News, but we got another one coming to you next Friday. But don't worry, this Friday we have a video coming to make sure that we keep with the consistency, because we want to keep feeding you guys some entertainment.
Exactly. Also, we put out a video, and we mentioned it the week prior, about our MLS fantasy season that we're partnering with On the Volley Apparel and Roughneck Scarves. So also the winner of the Cooligans MLS Fantasy will be getting $100 plus gear from On the Volley Apparel and Roughneck Scarves. So make sure you join that. Really exciting. Very proud to say we already have about 52 players.
That's incredible.
52 people signed up. This might be the most of any MLS league ever. I don't know. I'm just using alternative facts to state that, but it feels right.
Right. It does feel like the Trump thing. This is, as we now know, the greatest number of people that have ever signed up. And if you don't believe me, it's because you don't realize that there's grass coverings and a whole bunch of other stuff.
So this is exciting. So if you're already joined up, make sure, also for the people who already joined, make sure you email us and let us know who you are. That's the one thing, because we don't know who everyone is.
Right. And we have no clue who you people are.
We won't be able to contact the winner of the league. So when that happens. So you don't have to do it immediately, but throughout the year, especially if you're like in the top, you see yourself in like the top 10, hit us up, because we need to know who you are.
Yeah, make yourself known.
Talk to us. Yeah, and we're going to be doing updates about the MLS fantasy season. So make sure you listen to this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our email, and you can stay in the loop of all that stuff.
Absolutely, and we got some fun stuff even with the fantasy dialed up for you guys. Hopefully, we'll be having some reviews from a friend of ours, and then just some cool stuff happening. So, thanks for listening, and we got some other stuff lined up for you. And we can't tell you enough to make sure you and all your friends listen next week, because it's going to be a crazy episode if we can get it all dialed up exactly right.
Exactly. So again, all the way from the other side of Brooklyn. My name is Christian Polanco.
And from my home, which is now basically a triage center, Alexis Guerreros.
And together we are
the Cooligans.